Hello and welcome to Unbox the podcast that helps you to raise your awareness and see a different perspective on life. The following is a podcast interview conducted by my former teacher and friend, Marin Jose. The podcast came out when my book was first published, Your Future in Coffee Cup. I've decided to re-release it now because there's still a lot of enigma about what it is to be a psychic or an intuitive. I still notice that many people refer to it as a power, and I would like to emphasize that it is an ability. It's a skill that we can all develop because it is a potential that we all have. I hope that you enjoy listening to this podcast, and if you have any questions about what it is to be a psychic or to conduct psychic readings or how to read coffee cups, please get in touch.
This is Marin Jose and you're listening to Merlion Podcasts. Today I have the great pleasure of speaking with Saha Hunedi. Saha Hunedi is a professional intuitive, a spiritual life coaching columnist for Prediction Magazine, the original Body, Mind and Spirit magazine in the UK, established in 1936, and publisher of psmagazine.com, a holistic internet resource. Saha launched the first dedicated podcasting service on spiritual and psychic matters and on well-being on psychicpodcast.com and podcastforlife.com, attracting over 50,000 subscribers worldwide to date. She lives and works in London. So Saha, a very, very warm welcome to Merlion Podcast. I'm so excited to have you being interviewed instead of the other way around.
Well, thank you very much, Marion. I'm very pleased to be here, and thank you for asking me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Well, you and I go back a long way.
We do.
Yeah, and you have done so much important work. You were the one, in fact, that started me on the magazine, on the web. So I'm grateful to you for that and all the other tremendous help you've given me. So now I know you have a column with Prediction Magazine.
That's right.
And also you're a horoscope columnist for Shark Magazine, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
So you have two podcast sites, one Podcast for Life and then Psychic Podcasts.
Yes.
So tell us the difference here, can you, on this remote?
Well, I first started with the psychic podcasts because there was a lot of intrigue about psychic matters, and it's really everything that revolves around psychic, you know, that includes healing and trying to demystify it, really. Mm. So it's a collection of interviews of people who are leaders in their field or authors to kind of unravel, you know, the mystique that is around the subject, and to have that information accessible in a very simple and understanding way that the listeners can understand. And then what evolved out of that is Podcasts for Life, which is really not connected or not necessarily to do with the psychic stuff, but really more how to find inspiration in life. So it's a step beyond the future, if you like. And it involves people who've done inspirational things or how they've done it, so that the know-how is, again, between the hands of the listener, really.
You have a lot of healers that you interview.
I do. It's not only healers.
No,
but I think also because the healing, really, it's more... I know we've had a few naturopaths, for example, which is all to do with working with the physical. Because, you know, for me, they both go hand in hand. So as you work on the psychic or the spiritual, you also have to work on the physical or the manifest. And that way, things are in alignment. And it's really to help people to bring their life forward in a more synchronistic way.
I think it's brilliant, and I know you have a huge following.
Thank you.
And also, I know that Hans Holzer named you twice among the best 100 psychics in Psychic Yellow Pages or something.
That's a great, really, honor and a privilege, because I wasn't even aware of such a directory.
Mm.
And I haven't met Hans, you know. It was mostly we were speaking on the phone and as a friend, really, whom I've come to know about through you, really.
Yes.
So he was calling me and asking me a few things, and I was not even realizing that I was giving him a reading. And then I found out that, yes, I was listed twice in his books, in his directory.
That's Hans. That's what he does. Now, something go on, I'm sorry.
Yes. No, I was really honored that he gave me this great kind of endorsement for the book.
Yes.
Saying that over a period of 2 years that I had accurately predicted matters for him ever having meeting him.
It's wonderful. And he, of course, as you know, has written 140 books now.
Oh, yes.
And has met every psychic possible. So he's a very special man indeed.
He is indeed.
Now, something that I think is fascinating for our listeners here is you're a direct descendant of a line of Sufis that dates back 800 years to Master Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, author of The Secret of Secrets. So please tell us about this and your late grandfather.
Well, this is something really that I've always known, but not known much about. But, you know, in my family, it was always known that, you know, our great ancestor is one of the four, if you like, great Sufi masters or Sufi sages.
Mm.
And when I was, you know, researching the book for material, when the publisher approached me and said, you know, would you write a book on the subject? I was sort of, you know how when you have something in your background, but you never really bother to look into it because you're just used to it and it's
yes.
there.
Yes, absolutely.
And in my mind, you know, I felt so kind of honored and privileged to be asked to be the first one to bring the book out,
mm.
you know, Your Future in a Coffee Cup.
Mm.
So I was looking or digging into the history of coffee and how coffee readings came about. And it was very difficult to find material about coffee cup reading as such. There's a lot on coffee and the history of coffee.
Mm.
And this is very much so because it was a handed down art verbally from mother to daughter or from woman to woman. So I was looking into that and I was wondering if there was a link between Sufism, since
mm-hmm.
it is really in my heritage, and so is the coffee cup reading. Because as far as I know, this is the first book by someone who actually practices coffee cup reading, by
oh.
somebody who comes from the region.
And
for that, I feel personally for me, it really is, as I said, a great honor and a privilege.
Yes.
So I thought, you know, it'll be great if I can find a Sufi link somewhere, then I've kind of come, a full circle.
Mm.
And to my absolute delight, I did, because coffee was sort of like a divine drink, and what really emerged is a link, if you like, between divinity and divination, or between spirituality and reading the coffee cups, because coffee was very much at the heart of Islam and at the heart of practicing, you know, all these spiritual kind of routines and practices. Coffee was actually served in mosques throughout Arabia, the center of Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very much at the heart of Islam, so much so, in fact, it was called the wine of Islam.
Oh, how interesting. This is really fascinating.
Yes, and it was a drink that was supposed to help you clear your mind, connect
mm-hmm.
more with God, stay awake, you know, in a sort of a double conscious way, that as you're doing your rituals, your prayers, your, you know, chanting, that you were close to God and you were awake and alert. That was the most important thing. So there was a link there
mm.
of kind of reaching higher wisdom through having this drink.
I had no idea.
I had no idea. In fact, I asked one of my Sufi friends, and I said, is there a link with coffee and Sufism? And he laughed, and he said, wine, yes, but coffee, I don't know.
Mm.
So it was absolute delight. And in fact, I found also from the research that it was a Sufi, in fact, the Grand Mufti
mm.
of Yemen, who sought Ethiopia, Africa, to find a drink that is equivalent to tea.
I see.
Because you see, in the olden times, they're very much dependent on the Chinese trade, you know, the China, ships coming from China carrying the load of tea and so on.
Mm.
So they were looking for an equivalent drink so that they don't have to be dependent on the trade. And it was a Sufi,
mm.
again, who discovered, if you like, coffee in Ethiopia, brought it back and kind of played around with it, experimented to see if he could make a drink out of it. So it was the Sufi, really, the coffee held like it was a magical drink because it resembled the transformation of man through God as you roasted the coffee beans and made a drink out of it.
Oh.
And then it started being used and then it started being served in the mosque. So there's a huge link between the Sufis and the coffees and how it was brought about, really.
I see. So that's how your future in a coffee cup came about.
It actually, yes. So I tell my friends this book took 600 years
yes.
to come out. It was
that's right.
Years
that's right. And I believe in the book you give exercises for the reader to expand their own talents.
I do, and it's basically the exercises are to do with how to develop, open up, develop your intuition, and make sense
mm-hmm.
of really abstract images that are formed with the coffee beans as you drink your coffee.
And also, you teach people to have their own symbols as well as you giving certain symbols in the book.
Yes, I noticed that there are certain similarities of symbols and what they mean that, you know, came to me by experience. But I also found out that other coffee readers had similar interpretation.
Right.
So if you like, some of them hold a common meaning for a lot of people. And then the rest, I really encourage the reader to develop their own dictionary of symbols.
Yes, and like you say, it's passed down orally.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, because my mother was a tea leaf reader, and I know you had a tea leaf reading by my mother.
By Maureen, bless her soul, absolutely. That was years and years ago.
I know.
And I remember her predicting with accuracy what I will be doing, the column, the book, and this was years ago, before I was even thinking of writing.
I know. She was amazing. It takes on its own life.
Absolutely. And I remember being very intrigued by Maureen's ability to read the tea leaves. I mean, particularly there were literally three leaves in my cup. And, you know, coffee reading is also very much linked to tea readings. It is not the same, because a lot of people assume that it is the same. It is not the same, simply because...
It looks like mud a little, the coffee, doesn't it?
The medium is different.
Yes.
It's more sandy, it's more grainy, but the idea is the same, in the sense that you scry into the cup as you would a crystal ball. But the way that you interpret it is very different. And I remember there was very little in the cup, and yet she spoke volumes. And that, again, you know, talking about one going to one's heritage, you know, you kind of wonder, because I've always had coffee readings or done coffee readings, but I never thought of it as an oracle in that way. And in fact, you brought it to my attention, you know, you're saying, oh, the coffee will pick up and one day and do this. And this is, in fact, what has happened, you know, through a feature that came out in Prediction magazine. It's like suddenly everybody wanted to rediscover this old art that was practiced for hundreds of years without anything being written about it.
It's so fascinating. There's an enormous interest in this now. People want to do it for themselves, and that for them is a good medium, like you say.
I think it's really fun. It's fun that as you do something as common or banal as having coffee, that it can really be a moment when you can reflect on your life and literally see what's on your mind.
And this is a tradition in many countries, in Turkey and in Greece, and we know Middle East, of course,
absolutely,
and in Russia. I didn't
in
know
Russia,
that this was in Russia.
In Bulgaria, in Hungary, in Brazil. I had clients flying in from Brazil to have a reading, from Venice, even from Japan.
Really?
So, it really spread as coffee did, and people are always, you know, intrigued by using that medium. Yes, and Brazil is quite well known, actually.
Yes,
Portugal,
Brazil.
Spain, throughout the Mediterranean, but certainly spread out even further than that.
You see, I wouldn't have put it together with India somehow. I wouldn't have thought that. And yet, I think you told me once that there was an Indian coffee reader that contacted you.
Yes.
Can you tell us that story?
Yes. She's. I think we found each other over the internet, really.
Yes.
And I think she originally actually comes from Syria.
Hmm.
And she's been living, I think she's married to an Indian, and she's been living in India for many, many years.
All right.
And she's very, very successful, and she reads for people across the board, but also politicians and things like that.
Mm.
And it was interesting to kind of compare notes and see if the symbols meant the same thing for her.
Mm.
But, you know, of course, India is very important in the story of coffee, because what the Arabs did at that time, like around the 13th or 14th century, is that it was absolutely prohibited to export coffee beans. They were so holy that you can only drink them in Mecca and Arabia.
I see.
And what happened is during the pilgrimage, a trader, a merchant, an Indian merchant, smuggled the beans out into India and then to the east of India. And this is how the coffee plantation all started.
I see.
Otherwise, the world wouldn't have discovered coffee.
No, not at all. Can you tell us, when was the first time you read a coffee cup? Because I've heard from people that you've read for that they think you're brilliant with it.
Oh, thank you.
I actually haven't had one with you yet, which I'm disappointed, and I'll have to fly to London to get one.
to get you to drink coffee,
I will if I know you're going to read it.
Oh, pleasure.
So when's the first time you remember actually reading someone's fortune?
I don't honestly remember the first cup, but I can remember kind of gradually, intuitively getting into it. Because it was so fascinating when I was younger. There were certain aunts and older, you know, kind of women in the family, and after lunch everyone would kind of gather around them and she'd pick up the cup and start talking. So I was, it was amazing. It was like, you know, somebody holding a court. So I was always intrigued about it. And then I picked it up from a friend, and this friend was half Russian, half Irani, half Persian. And her mother was Armenian, so she was a good mixture. And culturally, people, you know, her family, if you like, knew about coffee, and she practiced reading coffee. And I was just kind of look over her cup and just intuitively really picked it up. And then until I realized, you know, people were coming back saying, okay, stuff happened, you know, can you tell us more? Can you tell us more? So I probably just eased into it, you know, started with family and friends.
And then also, isn't there a place that you go, a little cafe or cafes?
I did that for a couple of years, I think, or 3 years. There was a cute little cafe in Little Venice here in London. And it was really wonderful. We did that. But I stopped that about a year ago, or just over a year, really, because, you know, it got so busy with my work that I had to focus on other stuff.
We wanted you this end to do workshops here with the coffee cup. So are you doing workshops, teaching people?
Not in the near future, man. There's, there's so much to do with my writing and my other work and doing the podcasts and my own readings. Just decided it's a little bit too much for me to take on board.
I understand. So now the book, Your Future in a Coffee Cup, was published, wasn't it in April this year, 2007?
It was officially due in April, but it actually came out this summer, in the middle of the summer, just around June, August, July, August.
And so how do people now order your book? Before we go any further, when anyone orders the book, they get the actual coffee cup with a saucer with the book. So they're started off in the right way.
Absolutely. The book is really makes a very nice gift back because you get the book, which contains real photographs of real cups and, you know, of real people.
Right.
So you kind of see how to build and practice, the readings. But also, it does come with the right coffee cup, because it helps to have the right coffee cup. Some people think if you have a bigger cup, you'll get more news. It doesn't work that way. So this is the ideal coffee cup, which really has not changed for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's the same cup. And the coffee cup has a very nice inscription on it. And it's by, again, a Sufi sage who later became known as the Saint of Coffee.
Oh.
And the inscription is in Arabic.
That's why I couldn't read it.
Yes. And it's really from a poem, from a 16th century poem that says, "O coffee, you dispel worries of the great. You point the way to those who have wandered off the path of knowledge. Coffee is the drink of the friends of God and his servants who seek wisdom." So the inscription you see around the cup and the saucer says that coffee is the drink of those who seek wisdom. And I thought it was really apt to have it, because what you're doing with the coffee cup readings is, that's really what you're doing. You're trying to find or tap into some kind of wisdom.
And I know people can even go in on your email you and ask questions about the coffee cup readings. I know I've read several on your magazine where you've helped them with symbols as well. I know it's all in the book, but...
Yes, absolutely. There's probably even other symbols that are not in the book that are on the magazine, on ps-magazine.com. There's a special coffee column, Turkish coffee cup reading column, and a lot of readers from all over the world, even in Australia, have emailed to ask, you know, how do I do this? How do I read that? What does that mean?
That's wonderful.
And, of course, you know, listeners can access that information.
Now, Saha, would you consider, because I know how enterprising you are, would you consider doing a DVD where you can show that close up and how to make the coffee, how to read the coffee? Can you do that?
I think this is probably something that we'd look into in the new year, to move into video podcasting. And perhaps, you know, it would make an ideal video podcast. Where people can actually see. Maybe not to interpret the symbols, because you need to have really good images and a close-up, but at least definitely to do a video of how to start, how to make the coffee, and how to begin to read it. Excellent idea, Marin. Yes, thank you.
Well, I just know, I know you. If I mention anything, within about 3 months you've done it. Most people, it just goes over their heads, not you. So that's incredible. Now, please tell us what you're doing now, and I know it's a lot of stuff, and what you're planning to do in the future.
Well, I've worked really so hard on the magazine and the podcast, and the reason is so that people, clients, my readers, don't have to depend on a psychic reading to kind of find out where they're going.
Yes.
So all of that material is available for free. Anyone can read the magazine, click, you know, to the website or download the podcasts. Mm. So what I would really like to do in the future is to be able to dedicate time and resources to enhance these two things, the podcasting and the magazine, bring more material into it, perhaps material in a different way, like to include the video podcasting.
That would be very
That's
good,
really
yes.
personally where I'd like to go.
Yes, yes.
And I think possibly, I'm thinking of another book, which is on a completely different platform. But that I have to do when I have more time, just really sit and write it, because it's just getting a little bit too much. My workload has been really, really incredible this year.
I know, and you actually do a monthly column in Prediction Magazine, so that in itself, and you write incredible articles.
Oh, thank you, Mary.
And they keep coming, so that in itself takes a lot of
work. It's wonderful. I think it's been 4 or 5 years now, and I'm particularly proud of Prediction because it's the very first magazine that I've read to do with holistic and psychic matters. And in fact, it's UK's very first Body, Mind, Spirit magazine. So it was really such an honor and pleasure that they've asked me. And the column has evolved, so it's really about how to make your future happen. In other words, it's about spiritual life coaching.
Yes.
Where each month we choose a different topic, or I discuss a different topic, showing the reader literally how to get that done, or what tools they can use to help them go further down their path.
Yes, you're empowering them rather than disempowering. That's what's so important about the work you do. You always empower people. So it's very important.
I think it's important to be told that, you know, you can do it and this is how, instead of saying, oh, I predict that you're not going to do that. So I really believe, which is something you've taught me, that we really make our own futures.
Oh, yes.
A lot of people still surround psychic readings by this mystique, you know, that no one knows but a psychic person would. And I totally don't subscribe to that. I feel it's within us and you just probably need a tool or someone to kind of show you how it's done, what to do, and then you'd feel empowered, absolutely.
You're always asking people if they had 3 wishes or...
Oh my gosh, I haven't even thought about my...
Well, what are your 3 wishes? Have you had 3 wishes?
I think in terms of my work, really, is to take it to the level that I think it should go, that I would like it to go.
Mm.
So that's a personal wish, to be able to actually execute that and make it happen. My second wish is really to do with the book. There's a book I'm burning to write.
Yes.
And I'm really hoping to be able to get that out. It's not necessarily what the publishers are interested in, but that's the one that I'm burning to write. My heart, if you like, is burning to write.
Yes.
So I would hope, you know, to have the time, the resources, to actually sit down and finish.
Can you give us a little hint of what that is? Just a little hint, or is it a secret?
Really, absolutely, with pleasure. It's really reflecting on my journey, if you like. It's a life coaching, not a life coaching, but a spiritual coaching book. Practical things, explaining certain things that were not clear, how to get from A to B, the things that to watch out for. So it's explaining, if you will, spiritual dynamics in a very practical, down-to-earth way.
Yes.
And how these principles really play and also affect what happens in your real life. So it's kind of to bring that awareness. And of course, I can only talk about my understanding and my experience of things. So it's really my journey, my client's journey, how it changed them, how it changed me. And therefore, it's kind of tried and tested tools, if you like.
Oh, that sounds like a really good book. A very helpful book.
Thank you, Mary. I'm often asked, you know, have you written something about that? And I refer them to the articles in PS
Magazine. Well, I was going to say, you're doing it every month, you're doing it, and, you know, all the time you're doing it. So to put it in a book in one place would be fantastic.
Well, I think things are really changing fast now, and I think we must have information available for people.
Yes.
Time is speeding up. People want things on the go. Not necessarily lesser quality things, but they want help instantly, quickly, because people are learning a lot faster and their lives are changing a lot quicker. And I think also with our work, we have to catch up with the times.
Yes, we do.
So I was thrilled when the podcast technology came through because it does work. And you know, so far I've had over 50,000 subscribers to my podcast and downloaders that I have no idea who they are across the world, but I thank you. I thank them, and which means it really works. So sometimes you just need to hear a little bit of a snippet, and that's all the inspiration that you need to kind of take you to the next step and so on.
Exactly. Well, this has been a very interesting interview indeed.
Thank you, Maren, and thank you again for asking me to come.
Oh, I'd love you to come back as many times as you like. Well, thank you so much again, Saha.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, Maren. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And this is Maren Jose, and you've been listening to MerlionPodcast.com.
If you would like to find out more about my readings,
please visit saharhunedi.com.
This is Saha Hunedi Palma, your intuitive Unbox life mentor. See you next week with Unbox the podcast.